Matthew chapter 10, that's the first book in the New Testament there if you need some help. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 16. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 16. We'll read these responsively. I'll read the odd verses, you'll read the even verses along with me. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 16. Matthew 10, verses 5 through 16. Let's begin. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much, Lord, for the country that you have put us in, Lord, for the freedoms that we have. But Lord, it comes with a price. There is a job that you want us to do, Lord. You want us to reach the lost. Help us not to miss or forget about those lost souls that walk around us every day. Please, Lord, would you guide us? Give us wisdom. Help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Give us the wisdom to be able to apply these principles that we'll learn this evening. Please be with Pastor as he preaches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Keep your Bibles open. We'll come back to this passage in a moment. Let me give you a little overview of what's going on, and then we'll get right into the truth tonight. Jesus is with his disciples. He's getting ready to, and I'm going to use a term here, it's not scriptural, but he's getting ready to cut them loose a little bit. He's getting them ready for when he's not going to be there. And he says, "I want you to go, and I don't want you to go to the Samaritans. I don't want you to go to the Gentiles. I want you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go into your own country. Go into your own countrymen." And he said, you have to understand something. He's getting ready for them to do a little bit more on their own. In a little while, he's going to be leaving. In a little while, he's not coming back. They have to be able to do this. They've been with him. They've heard him preach. They've seen him teach. They've seen how he works with people. He's been training them. And now he's going to kind of monitor a little bit, but he's going to send them out a little bit on their own and see how they do. But I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 6 again. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and what? Commanded them. Does it sound like they had an option? No. Now here's the statement I want you to get. Look all the way over in verse number 16. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Now, to you city folk, you might not understand that statement. But wolves eat sheep. Sheep eat grass. I'm a wolf, not a sheep. Amen? Eat meat. Let the meat eat the grass. I'll get my vegetables through the meat. Amen? I eat vegetables all the time. It just got pre-digested and turned into meat. Amen? Now, wait a minute. You have to understand something. Jesus is sending them forth, and he said, I am sending you, but you're going to be like sheep amongst wolves. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound real fun, does it? In other words, you're going to be the prey, and I'm cutting you loose where the predators are. This is a statement very similar to what I often use at graduation services. I've preached a lot of graduation services, and I'll often look at the graduates and say, enjoy the pats on the head today, because from here on out, it's a kick in the seat. This is your last day of enjoying the pat on the head, because from here on out, nobody's going to pat you on the head. They're going to be stabbing you in the back. Enjoy it while you got it, because it's not going to last very long. And that's exactly what Jesus was telling his disciples. Look, I've patted you on the head long enough. Time to go get a little tougher. Time to go figure out how to make it when I'm not here with you. Let me help you. Parents need to do this with their children. You should not be mommy and daddy to adult kids.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Say that again. We're not supposed to be mommy and daddy to adult kids.
Amen.
We're supposed to have done our job before they leave our house.
Amen.
Too late once they leave. Say, well, I'm always going to be mom. I'll always be dad. You may be, but guess what? They're going to pick out what retirement home you go to. Be careful. You don't have the right to be mommy and daddy and overrule them once they're an adult.
Amen.
You're to have given them the skills to make the decisions and let them make their mistakes as adults.
Amen.
It's like what I preached last week, wisdom crieth without. They're not going to make all the right decisions. You didn't. But preacher, it's hard. I love them so much. Love them enough to let them figure it out.
Amen.
I was talking to a lady this week. I won't give their name. They need help. And I've been helping them for a long time. And they said, preacher, I'm ready to do it your way. I said, good. You can do it the hard way or the right way. And they said, I'm tired of doing it the hard way. I said, good. Now let me help you. And I will help them. I've never changed in all the years I've been helping that person. Can I tell you something? You see, a parent's job is to rear their children so that when they leave your home, they can make it without you.
Amen.
Plain and simple. The process of parenting, from the time you cut the umbilical cord, is a continual process of letting go. Start letting go.
Amen.
You start letting go as they start walking, as they start crawling. And you give them more and more freedom. Now, not freedom in the sense of doing whatever they want to do, but there's more to do because they can do more. And then you get to the next level. Then you get to the next level. It is a continual process of letting go. Let me define biblical parenting to you from a Christian's point of view. It is taking a child and the dependency they have on you. And by the time they're 18 years old, leaving your home, that dependency is on God and not you. If their dependency is on you, you're playing God and you've done it wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Plain and simple. That's why we have 30 and 40 and 50 year olds living at home with mommy and daddy. We've reared generation after generation of adults who don't know how to be anything but a child. Everybody doing okay? We need to raise them to teach them to be without us one day. My wife and I have reared three children. I love all three of them. Some I love more. No. But may I say something to you? I'm not mommy and daddy to any of my three kids. I'm not. my daughter thought I was kidding, but when she got engaged, I started pushing her away a little bit. I said, "Preacher." I said, "What's Michael say about this?" Well, I didn't ask Michael. I said, "You need to. You need to start listening to what he has to say, not just me." And the closer their wedding came, the more I threw on him and the less on me. That's not what I wanted to do. I told her when she was a little girl, she's got some toe-headed idiot was going to steal her away from me, and I was right. I got the idiot part right, not the toe-head, but no, fine young man. But I raised my kids so that when they left home, they could function without us. They can find their own food. They can work their own jobs. They can clean their own clothes. They can pay their own taxes. They can do everything that they're supposed to do. Now, does that mean that they can't call and get advice from time to time? They can call anytime they want. But doesn't mean I call them and say, "What are you doing about?" Say, "Well, I want to make sure they're doing it right." Quit playing mommy and daddy. They'll pay the price. Trust me, they'll figure it out. Just like you did. You see, at the end of the day, I'm accountable for my wife and I, not my adult kids. I'm accountable for me. I'm not accountable for what my children do as adults. I can offer advice if asked, but only if asked. Michael called me about one day last week. He said, "Dad, I got a question for you." I said, "Sure." He asked me a question. I answered his question. He said, "Thanks, Dad." My wife, later, I think it was Tuesday, it was my day off, and she came home and I said, "Michael called, asked me a dad question." I said, "That boy will never know how much I love and respect him." You say, "Why?" "Because he's still willing to call me dad." I wish you could see him around my wife. You'd never know that my wife didn't birth that boy. He hangs on her. You say, "Why?" "Because 3 months after they got married, his mama died. And my wife was the only mom he's got left. And he just, that's his mom." I love it. Say, "Does that bother you?" "No." That's the way it should be. Comes time for birthday or Christmas or something for Mindy, and he'll call my wife and say, "Mom, what do I do with Mindy for this?" They'll hit a hard patch. "Dad, how do I hand Mindy on this one?" I said, "How big a board do you got?" I want you to notice something here, though. And please listen to me. Jesus did not coddle and snuggle and protect his babies. He said, "I'm sending you forth as sheep amongst wolves." He said, "You're going to be the food amongst the predators." He said, "I've given you the tools. I've given you the skills. Now go out there and do it." Amen. That doesn't sound like, "Oh, come here, sweetie. Let me hug you for a little while." No, 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 no. Dried up and you got what it takes. Now go do it. Comes a point in time in life where you got to quit coddling and snuggling and start pushing and shoving. My son leaves for Jordan this week. My wife and I are not real excited about it, but he doesn't know that. We're excited for him. I told him I want him to come home safely and in one piece, alive. But if not, I know where he'll be. Say, "Preacher, got to be real." By the way, it's not a whole lot more dangerous over there than it is anywhere here in America. But may I say something? Either way, it's his choice, not mine. Why should I not back him? "Preacher, is it what you want? Doesn't matter what I want." It was his choice. He volunteered for it. Matter of fact, he volunteered for this duty. I don't tell him I'm concerned for him. My wife doesn't. We don't say, oh, we're just so worried. He's never heard his mom or dad say that. You say, why? Not for him to know. He already knows it. We'll be excited for him. Now, when you hang up the phone, you go, and I know the feeling. As a Christian, God sends those of us who are saved, sheep, amongst the wolves, the lost. Wolves eat sheep. Sheep don't eat anything but grass and grain. Sheep are food to wolves. Wolves are predators. They tear them up. They catch them. They rip them in shreds, tear their guts out, and eat them. This seems odd. But Jesus said you don't have to be eaten by the wolves. Amen. You don't have to be caught by the wolf. But I am sending you as sheep amongst the wolves. There's an incredible lesson tonight that I want to help you with. Look at verse number 16 again. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, everybody look at me. First of all, you got to realize something. You can't live your whole life just around sheep. You got to be out in the world with the wolves. When I was rearing my children, a lot of our family on both sides would, oh, you're just sheltering your kids too much. They're not exposed to, they'll never make it in the world. Well, their kids have been married and divorced 14 times. They've had all kinds of vile diseases. Many have been in and out of jail. My kids are succeeding. And they said, how'd you do it? Well, I protected them from the wolves and taught them how to live amongst wolves. I didn't put them in as wolves when they were children. But I gave them the tools once it was time that they could make it. Guess what? They're making it. So, number one, for sheep to survive, they must be wise as a serpent. That's a strange statement. Most people don't like snakes. How many of you, just the word snake bothers you? Raise your hand. I'm not that way. I respect them, but I'm not afraid of them. Now, I'm smart enough, I ain't going to play with them. But I respect them. I had a convert of mine in South Carolina, Rodney. I led Rodney to the Lord. He had giant pythons. They were 10, 12, 13 feet long. He'd say, Brother Bush, you want to come feed snakes? Yeah. I took my wife over there. He's got these giant aquariums, you know, 200-gallon tanks, giant things. And he'd say, you want to feed one? I said, yeah, what do I do? He said, just take this rabbit, and it's alive. Throw it in there. Man, that thing barely hit the tank. And it was like a box of cereal, snap, crackle, pop. He said, go ahead and do about three more. He said, it'll eat 3 to 5 rabbits. He said, I only have to feed them every 6 months. But, and sure enough, man, that thing had all those things, and it was just, and then one at a time just start swallowing them whole. One time he said, the store didn't have any rabbits. I got to do rats. He said, I need your help because I got to feed them about 15, 20 rats each. He said, but we got to paralyze the rats. I got to keep them alive, but I got to paralyze them because the rats start biting too quick and it'll put holes in the snake skins. So he'd paralyze them and I'd throw them in. We just, I found that interesting, but I wasn't going to stick my hand in that thing. I got better sense than that. Amen. Body temperature is the same for the rat or the stupid preacher. And this one was smart enough not to put his hand in there. Snakes don't bother anyone unless they're being bothered, though. Amen. Snakes just don't come up to you and just start biting on you. A snake will try to everything it can to avoid people. They're they're quiet. They go about life silently. I was out golfing in Colorado Springs when I was out preaching there one week. I preached 27 times in 6 or 7 days out there and had time to go golfing one time. And they had this area and it said, please don't go in here. Rattlesnakes, if your ball's in here, drop, free drop. No problem. Brother Scott, my ball was only about 4 or 5 feet in there. I thought, come on, man. Okay. I took one step and started to take the second one. I heard, I said, I'm out of here. That golf ball don't mean that much to me. I still to this day don't know where that snake was, but I was far enough away that it wasn't going to get me when I was hitting that golf ball either. They weren't kidding. There was rattlesnakes in there. You see, they don't strike or bite unless people don't listen to their warnings. A snake doesn't just automatically strike at you. When I was in El Paso, Texas, I had to kill 5 rattlesnakes. They got into the garage. And the guy that I was with had a .22 pistol, and I said, I want something bigger than that. He said, no, he said, this is the best caliber in the world to kill a rattlesnake with. He said, don't shoot at it. I said, say what? He said, aim about right at the tip of the nose or just past the end of the nose on that snake. Pull the trigger. He said, it'll strike at the bullet and it'll kill itself. He said, they're so fast, they'll sense the heat and strike at the bullet. I thought, you're crazy. So I aimed right in front of that snake and like that. And it'll take a .22 shell right out of the sky. I thought, wow. I got 4 more the same way. You don't have to be a good shot. Just get it in front of the head, amen? Because I thought, how in the world am I going to hit that little target moving? He said, don't worry about it. Just shoot right in front of it. It'll strike itself and kill it. He was right. He was right. Now, wait a minute. They weren't going to hurt us till we were trying to hurt them. They were fine as long as we weren't bothering them. But they intruded into an area they should not be. And they needed to be gotten rid of, and I ain't picking one up alive. And you got to be careful. Even if it's dead, it can still kill you. Their heads still move, their mouth still move, and they'll still pump venom right into you for about 24 hours. Now, a snake will do all it can to get away. They're not aggressive. But you put one in the corner and look out. They're coming after you. Christians don't need to romp and stomp and scream and holler everywhere they go in the world. Go about life. Go soul winning, but don't be pushy. I don't have to obey an HOA unless I live there. Well, our HOA says nobody can knock on doors. That means you can't in your own HOA. Doesn't mean I can't. I don't live there. You say, preacher, that's the law. I was out knocking doors and somebody wanted to call the police on me. I said, do you have the phone number? They called the police. Police showed up. And he said, and I handed him a gospel tract. You say, why? Because I give everybody one. Amen, Miss Kathy? And I said, look, I'm Pastor Bush. He said, that's all right. He said, can I ask what you're doing? I said, sir, I'm going door to door, giving out that very piece of paper, inviting folks to church. If they want to come, great. If not, I go to the next door. I said, I'm not asking for anything, just asking if they're going to church anywhere. He said, all right. He said, that's what I thought you were doing. He said, you're fine. I said, I know I am. I said, that cranky old coot down there call you? He said, yep. I said, they think I'm soliciting, right? He said, yes, sir, but they don't know what soliciting is. I said, no, sir, they don't. I said, but answer me a question. I said, the public school kids that are going up and down selling candy bars and stuff from school, I said, that's soliciting. How come they don't call the police on them? He said, Pastor, you're the first preacher I know that's got it right. He said, you're absolutely right. He said, I got to come out, but have a good day. He said, if they call, we'll tell them everything's all right. I said, thank you. He said, "You're welcome. Can I tell you something? You don't have to be afraid of them. You don't have to be mean and nasty. You don't have to get in a shouting match. Matter of fact, Jesus said, look up in verse number 14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." He said, don't get all upset when you leave. Shake the dust off and go to the next one. Say, well, what do you do, preacher, when somebody doesn't want to listen to you? I go to the next door. Well, what if they don't listen? There's a whole lot more doors. Here we go. I've had people chase me down the street. You can't go to that. That's an old person's house. Ma'am, I can go there. Don't you worry. And I'll knock on the door. I've had them cuss me out. I've had them do all kinds of things. They're the ones that are cranky, not me. But you don't have to be unkind about it. You know, you can maneuver around the snakes as long as you're not bothering them. If you get one that starts getting a little testy, you back up and go around. That's all it is. You see, follow God's principles. Only make noise when somebody violates God's principles. Somebody tells us we can't have church or I can't preach somewhere. Guess what? We're going to go to fisticuffs on that one. I'll come unscrewed. I'll go, well, you can't preach on this street corner. You better know every day I'll go down there and preach. Don't tell me I can't preach there. I had somebody say, well, you can't come into this neighborhood. I sent 14 people soul winning in that neighborhood the very next week. And I personally knocked on that person's door. Say, preacher, I don't think you ought to have done it. Maybe I shouldn't have, but we had people saved. I'm not going to let one cranky person bother me. Amen? Snakes are healing in the sense that their poison is also the serum. Do you know the very poison that comes from a snake they use to get the serum to keep you from dying from a snake bite? They'll milk a snake. They'll take their head and put it over a bottle and has a little membrane on it, and they'll hook their fangs over it and they'll squeeze the poison out, and they'll use all of that venom from that type of snake, and it's what they call milking a snake, and they actually pump that venom out till it quits pumping, and they'll use that venom and turn it into the serum in case someone is bitten by that type of snake. The very poison that can kill you is also the antidote to the poison. They're immune to their own toxins. By the way, did you know that the snake is a symbol of health? Did you ever follow an ambulance? It's usually a pole or a cross with a snake wrapped around it. Say, where does it come from? Turn your Bible to John chapter 3. When Moses was in the wilderness, the people of God disobeyed, and God sent serpents to bite them. And God had Moses make a pole and put a snake on it and lift it up. And when the people were bitten by the snake, if they would look at the snake, God would take that poison away from them and they would live. John chapter 3, look at verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that is a picture of Jesus on the cross. Healing comes by God, not man. We still use the biblical symbol of healing in America today on our ambulances and in our medical facilities. They don't know it's Christian. Don't tell them. Na, 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 na. But they got that, and it is a picture of the healing power of Jesus Christ. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, because we've been bitten by the serpent, the devil, with sin. And it's only through the power of the cross that we get saved.
Yes, sir.
You see, the gospel is the answer to the world. A serpent knows when and how close to be before it strikes. It's amazing if you've ever watched snakes in the wild. They'll get to a certain distance and they'll coil themselves back. And they know it exactly what distance that prey has to be before they strike. Generally, it's about half the distance of their body. They'll wait for that little mouse or that little critter to come by, and all of a sudden, pow, and it's over. And they've got their fangs in there. And that poison starts paralyzing and pumping through their veins immediately. You see, a serpent watches carefully before it makes a move. Christians, we ought to be at least as wise as a snake. You can't make it through this life without being amongst the wolves, but we can do it a whole lot more wisely. There are times it's not appropriate to get up and preach. There's times I want to. I wanted to at Jefferson County Commission meeting the other night, but I didn't. I preached a little bit in my prayer. I had people coming up to me. Jackie was sitting right beside me. She knows this happens. This lady walked up to me and she said, "I hope you got something strong about evil tonight in your prayer because we need it." Is that not what she said? I don't even know who that lady was. But she wanted me to give it to them, that's for sure. I thought, yeah, you're real brave when you got me telling everybody. There's times it's not appropriate, but everything I said Thursday night was appropriate. It was scriptural. It was biblical. It was stronger than most of them are used to. But when I got done, came back, sat down, looked up, and here comes Sheriff Hansen walking over to shake my hand. Say, why? Because he knew I was a real man going to tell the real truth. He's an Irish Catholic. He doesn't believe the way we do, but he likes and respects me. Say, why? Because I don't pussyfoot around him. Anybody doing okay? Be wise as a serpent. Number two, God says for a sheep to survive amongst the wolves, we have to be as harmless as doves. A dove, those of you that hunt, you know what I'm about to say. They're some of the dumbest creatures in the world. They got big eyes, and they make a lot of noise until you get close. But you walk through a patch of farmland through the middle of the night or something, and you take a step, and all of a sudden you hear this. Here they go. Man, it sounds like a flock of turkeys taken out right under your foot, and it's a stupid dove. A dove has very large eyes. Have you ever seen a dove? Their eyes bug out of their heads almost. You say, why? Because they have no defense. They have zero defense. Their only defense is that they watch and get away quickly. Doves aren't hard to hunt. They're just easy to miss. They fly really fast. And they spook so easy that you got to really be careful. Now, their only defense is that they pay attention and fly away before the danger comes. Did you hear that statement? God said, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Maybe we ought to be more cautious and watch and flee before the evil comes. Maybe we need to keep ourselves from evil and look far enough out and say, that may not be evil, but it's leading down a path to evil, so let's not go down that path. I'm not one that says, okay, here's where the danger is. Walk as close to that line as you can and you'll be okay. I believe in being as far away from the danger as you can get. So, preacher, you're a little radical. I am, but in case I fall a little bit, I'm still safe. If you walk along this line and you fall, you're in trouble. I'd rather preach over here than preach right there. Any day. I'd rather live over here than live over there any day. So a dove, their only defense is that they're paying attention, and the slightest movement that's out of place, they're gone. A dove has, they have the ability to sense danger. I'm going to say a few things here. Americans have desensitized themselves to danger. The news media has desensitized us. We see killings and murders and rapes and destruction and fires and all kinds of dead bodies all laying all over the place on our news media. We watch it from Hollywood. Nothing but violence. We even, in America, people play it on video games. And I'm talking about killing other human beings. Well, it's just a game. Talk to any police officer in the world, they'll tell you the most scary people we come in contact with is a young person who's been trained on video games. They're a better shot than the average person, and they have no adrenaline left. They have no adrenaline thrush from it. It's just another game, and they're very calm as they do it. You're destroying that adrenaline in their system by all the video games and all the killing. I've said this all along. Brother Greg, the day I hunt and I kill something, and my pulse rate doesn't go up to about 175, I'm putting the guns down and I'm done, because then I'm no longer a hunter, I'm a killer. I believe that. The day I can shoot a critter, even a stupid squirrel, I could shoot a squirrel and say, yeah, that was good. My heart rate, just a little bit. Say, it's a squirrel, yeah. But I'm not just a killer. The day it becomes just killing something, I've got a problem with that. I don't want to be so desensitized that I get used to it. I don't want to be desensitized to danger. I don't want to be desensitized to sin. I don't want to be desensitized to evil. Most of what people watch on TV from Hollywood desensitizes people to evil. Oh, it's not that bad. Let me ask you a question. What good is it? You're asking the wrong question. How about what good is it? Not what's wrong with it, what's right with it. Okay, moving on. I got to preaching a little too much there for you. The dove is the symbol of peace and tranquility. Acts chapter 1 talks about the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. Say, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit. He is the still, small voice. The Holy Spirit doesn't come in a rock concert and people flip and flop on the floor and say all the names of the motorcycles backwards. That's not the Holy Spirit. I was talking to a young preacher just this week, and he has some decisions to make. And he's got three or four things that are going on all at once. I said, young man, let me teach you the greatest truth you'll ever know in the ministry, and that is this. God may not show you exactly what to do, but he'll never fail to show you what not to do. I said, he'll make it very clear what you should not do. He said, wow, that's different. I said, trust me, 35 years of the ministry full time, 43 years of preaching, it has not yet failed. I said, when's the last time you went to do something wrong and the Holy Spirit didn't bother you? He said, never. I said, follow that leadership. I said, you may not always have known you were doing right, but he'll let you know when you're about to do wrong. He said, good point, preacher. I'll follow it. I said, good man. So God wants us wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Number three, and this will go very quickly. Sheep don't survive trying to look like and act like a wolf. Sheep don't survive trying to look like or act like a wolf. Sheep dressed up like a wolf is still a sheep. It doesn't have the teeth a wolf has. It's still going to say, not, yeah. Nope. Once is enough. I'm not Paula. Yeah. Now, let me say this. That means Christians ought to dress differently than the world, not look like the wolves. I believe with all my heart, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, we ought to look like, act like, smell like, be like a Christian. Why do we want to create an appetite when we think nobody else is watching? God is. We shouldn't style ourselves after the world. God doesn't want sheep to fit in with the wolves. He wants us to survive amongst the wolves. I'm tired of churches that attract the wolves. Everybody doing okay? I get a little tired of quote-unquote Christian schools that want to be like the wolves and bring your sheep in and destroy your sheep. Good night. You now have Christian schools that are letting sodomite kids come. What happened to the word Christian? Everybody doing all right? God tells us to live amongst them, but not be like them. We shouldn't talk like wolves. We ought to be careful how we speak. Everybody doing all right?
That's good.
I'm going to make a statement here. A sheep trying to live like a wolf, the wolves don't trust it, nor do the other sheep. You're going to be awful lonely trying to please everybody. You're going to be like Joe Manchin. Nobody's going to trust you. Finger licking Joe, amen? You know, I don't care how you dress up a sheep. It can't be a wolf. There's no sheep in the world that can tear flesh apart and eat it. There's no sheep in the world that can drink running water. They'll die. Sheep's nose is fixed on the end of its face. That's why in Psalm 23, he leadeth me beside still waters, because a sheep is so stupid. If the water's running into their nose, they'll stand there and drown themselves drinking. The water will run up their nose and go down their throat and suffocate them, and they'll fall over dead drinking. They're too stupid to get their head out of the water. Can I tell you something? God calls Christians sheep for a reason. We're not supposed to be like the wolf.
Amen.
Our kids are supposed to be simple concerning evil, not wise to the wiles of the devil. Sheep don't have the hunting sense that a wolf has. Sheep don't have the killer instinct. Be careful putting your kids and your family around the wolves. I got to quit. The disciples made a heap of mistakes as Calvary came. They did not handle everything well. They didn't know it, but according to Acts 17:6, they are the ones that turned the world upside down for God, though. God literally says they turned the world upside down. Say why? They learned how to be wise as serpent and harmless as doves amongst the wolves while they were sheep. Don't try to be like a wolf. Let's be wise as a serpent, harmless as doves. And let's do as Jesus commanded us. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, are we making some mistakes in our own personal lives? Are we coddling too much? Protecting too much? No, we need to be getting them ready. We need to get ourselves ready.